This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Yes. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, yeah, I hope you got your radio on. Well, I guess you would if you're hearing us, because you've tuned in to Long Island's only automotive talk show, Motormouth Radio, with your hosts, Ray Guarino, and my fine co-host, Chris Switzer.
How are you, Chris? What's up, my brother? How are you?
Oh, we're just doing fine here, with the radio on. Thank you, Joan
cool.
Jett. Yes.
Very cool. I think you're just in the studio now just to play that 90 seconds of music. You've turned into the frustrated DJ.
Yeah. I will agree with that. You're right. I do like that. I think it really just puts another little edge, a little thing on the show that we missed when we were fully remote. So
that is true. And you got the DJ stance going on because obviously we're watching each other through our technological cameras and all that good stuff. So we could see you with the DJ stance, which is very nice. I'm sure you and Mike Sims, myself and Mike Sims are both proud.
Well, you know, that's true. I watched you for many years, and I watched Mike Sims. And when I watched Mike Sims, I stayed back because
you have to.
Stuff was flying, man. It was,
yeah, because you could chip a tooth.
Yeah. Oh, or a vertebrae.
Yeah. watching him work.
Exactly. So you can get a – well, people can get a hold of us. They can give us a call, 516-572-7440. And
that's right, because we are talking to ourselves today. So chime in on this mess, 516-572-7440 on this fine Sunday. Yeah, and we got some rain again. A soggy Sunday once more.
Of course.
Hopefully it's a clear up by the time the show is over. Just like we do every week, we kind of part the clouds and let the sun burst through, we hope.
That's what they're saying. So I'm hoping that the weather report will come true, and that's going to be the forecast for this afternoon, because we're going to barbecue. We're going to have the grill going.
Good.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
So I want to start off with a sad note. You know, there was a passing in the world, which this eclipses in the automotive world. Monty Hellman passed away at 91 years old.
Monty Hellman?
Yes. There he is. It was all over the paper. Yes, Monty Hellman, of course. We know him. You know, he was the director on one of my favorite all-time movies, Two-Lane Blacktop, from 1971.
Oh, I thought we were going to lose mayonnaise.
No. This is the...
Not Hellman's mayonnaise?
No, the real Monty Hellman.
I kind of like it. Yeah.
I do, too. And I like Monty Hellman, too. You know, he also did...
He was the director of Two-Lane Blacktop.
Yeah, well, it says here, he created the road movie Two-Lane Blacktop, which, of course, starred musicians James Taylor and Dennis Wilson, who did nothing musical in the movie except bang gears in an M22 rock crusher behind a big block Chevy engine and a 55 Chevy, so that's music to my ears. But he also directed several action scenes, he said, in RoboCop, and was an executive producer of Reservoir Dogs with Quentin Tarantino. So he kind of helped Quentin Tarantino get back into the game. But Monty Hellman. Yeah.
Do you know what makes that 55 Chevy and Two-Lane Blacktop so special?
It's also the 55 Chevy in American Graffiti.
That's right.
And it also appeared in Adam 12. I have a picture of it. In the primer. Now, when it was in American Graffiti, it got a black paint job. Harrison Ford drove it, right? That was Falfa's car. It changed around a little bit. The wheels changed. There were definitely some changes to. So you might not know what the radius wheel wells. You could say, oh, that's the tip off. You know, everybody, not everybody, a lot of people did that back then. A lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
Common. But in Adam 12, it shows up, the boys roll up into an alley, and there's the 55 facing them, and it's like they took it right out of two-lane blacktop. It was gray primer, had the hood scoop, no front bumper, the whole Megillah.
And, really?
And then they, got the teens out of it and did what they had to do. So,
wow, son of a gun. I don't know where that car is now. I would love to know where it is, and I'm sure it is in some sort of collector's hands.
I
can't imagine that thing on the street somewhere.
No, I kind of, and there's so many recreations. I kind of follow that. There was that one and the 32 that John Milner drove in American Graffiti were always sought after cars. And they were, they were each owned by different people. Now, last I saw, one guy owned both of them. And I forget where he was. I'm thinking he was here on the East Coast. And because I just watched something on YouTube within the last few months about that, where he had him in.
Yeah, now if you can find that 58 Chevy and make the triumvirate, that would be very cool.
And
the 58 Chevy is nice.
One of the things I either read or saw did mention that, and they said that's the one that's that would make the trifecta if you could find that car. But then again, someone says, well, but if you can get the Vespa that Kurt was riding. It's like, all right, and get the Coke machine.
Or the Citroen 2CV.
Exactly, right. And, of course, the T-Bird that Suzanne Summers drove.
Right, Suzanne Summers T-Bird.
It
exactly.
Can go on. Listen, if you're going to go through the cars on American Graffiti, you better have one heck of a parking lot to put them in, because there was a lot of them.
One heck of a checkbook.
Right, exactly. Unbelievable.
Well, that is sad, and one to remember now.
Yeah.
At this point in time. I have a perplexing question that I can only ask you.
Oh, boy. You're in trouble.
There is literally, you know me, I don't know everything. I know where to get everything. That has been my mantra for years.
Uh-huh.
It has always been the way I work. It's, you can't remember everything, and everything is not in a book. You got to ask someone. And you have to know what person to ask which question. And this is the question I have to ask you. I have that Chrysler in the garage, and I have to affix a chrome rocker strip between the front wheel and the rear wheel, mm-hmm. because the 300s had that strip and the Newports did not. Well, of course, mine doesn't have it, and I need to apply it to the car.
Okay.
Now, I'm working by myself here, so, and we're talking about a 6 plus 7 foot strip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That you have to put in the exact right spot. Now, I was looking at the cars. I found some images of these cars, like New Yorkers and 300s, that have had the strip, but it was removed. And there are these, like, metal, they look like small metal nails that are sticking out of the body. It's not a hole that a clip can clip onto the strip and then just punch it in a hole. It's not like that on Chryslers, of course. They have to put this little nail head sticking out so you can hang the clip on it.
Okay.
Now, I'm thinking to myself, self, I don't want to drill a hole in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do it. I may have to, but you have to be incredibly precise. So what would you do? How would you apply, or how would you affix that chrome strip under the door between the wheel wells? What would you do, Almighty?
Interesting you ask that. At the shop, I've turned a new phrase. And when I get into a position where I don't know what to do, and how should I go forward, and I say WWMD, and that's what would Mike do? Because he knows ultimately a lot more than me. And I told that to him the other day, in fact, as we were across the fender on a car, and he said, sounds like you're dissing me here. I'm like, no, it's not. I said, it's just looking for a repair. I'm looking for, what would you do? So in your case, I did do that. I did put that molding on my own Pontiac. So, now, not being a body guy, I don't get too close to that stuff. But what I would find out first is what the correct clips and hardware look like, and I would procure them first.
Ah, very good. You should say that. I have them.
Okay, good. So usually,
I have the original clips.
I have no idea what Chrysler uses. You know, GM, my car has a rectangular piece of stamped steel that has like a T thing on one side. The T goes into a hole in the rocker to kind of locate it, and then there's a hole where a screw goes in, and that locates that bracket. And then the molding, you clip it on the top, and you pop it on the bottom with your palms. But I've seen some of those molding clips that look like an S. It's like a spring-shaped thing. I don't know who uses those. So
I've recognized those. The spring is definitely a GM item. I remember seeing them on a lot of Cadillacs, especially. You'll be dealing with those on that 64. Oh, no, you won't, because it doesn't have the chrome strip running down the center of the car, because that's where they are.
Okay.
It looks like a little biscuit with a little tail at the end of it.
Right, right.
And those are on the chrome that run down the center of the car. But the chrome on the Eldorado comes up over the rear wheel well and then drops down and then runs along the bottom of the car.
Well,
Eldorados
yeah.
do that. The DeVilles do not. And that's where that little clip is with the DeVilles on the chrome strip that runs down the center. This is a little different. It looks like a rectangle.
Yeah.
It's probably, what would you call it? It's about an inch wide and about maybe 2.5 inches
that's
long.
That's like what I have on
and
my car.
It has a hole in the center with like a little indent so you can hang that clip on that nail head that's sticking out of the... And then obviously once it's hung there, they're lined up perfectly because there are those nail heads that the factory puts in.
Right.
And then you can do the same thing with that, with the same procedure of installation with the chrome strip. You hang it on it and then smack it down.
Do you have the nail heads? The new ones?
No. Yeah.
Okay, because you need those, obviously.
Yes. Now that's my problem.
Then what I would do is I would hold up the molding to the bottom of the car.
Right.
And now some cars you got to see. Sometimes it doesn't go right to the bottom of the rocker. There's a little reveal, like maybe 1/8 of an inch. So you have to find out where it's supposed to be or where you want to put it, basically.
The only clue to that is on the back end of the chrome molding around the wheel wells, the back end of the front and the front end
of the back
have indents.
Okay. My car uses
the chrome
screws.
Is like flattened there.
Yeah, my Pontiac has actual screws that go with those locations.
Got it.
There's two hard screws and the rest are clips. Mm-hmm. So that may be the tip off. But I would lay it in place and then maybe use painter's tape on the car to mark that line.
Okay,
can you tell I've been hanging around with body guys who do like body work all the time? I'm starting to think like one. So now when you pull the mold away, now you have the tape line where you see where it has to be.
Agreed.
Then if let's just say for argument's sake, the nail head is in the center of the molding, that'd be really nice. Okay.
Right.
So you can measure the molding. I'm going to guess it's almost 3 inches, right? Around.
Right.
So let's say 3 inches, so 1.5 inches. Now is what I would do. Again, you could run another tape line, but I have, I bought for doing work in the house, a laser level, and they're cheap now. You set the thing up, run the laser level on the car, and on that line, mark where you want to put those nail heads with a Sharpie, and that's where you drill your holes. But you have to see how the nail heads attach.
Now I was saying, I don't want to drill a hole. I don't know what's behind there.
Oh, no, there's nothing
I don't
want to
drill into Bondo.
Well, that's the other thing. You don't know.
I'm thinking, here's my thought. Now, maybe a little Rube Goldberg-esque here, but here's my thought. I want to take a piece of, like, tin or sheet steel and affix that nail head to that and then use some adhesive, structural adhesive, some 3M, and stick that, literally take the paint off and hope to God I come down to some sort of metal, not Bondo, and affix that to the car.
Uh-huh.
So I'm avoiding drilling that hole.
See, that's what Mike would
now,
do.
Now, once I've affixed that, let that dry.
Yeah.
And then hang the molding, then hang the clips, and then affix the molding to that. That's what I'm contemplating. And judging by the look on your face, I don't know if I'm going. I don't know if I'm down a path that's of success.
I don't know. Billy G says industrial Velcro. So I don't know. The thing that I would want to know is those little nail heads. I don't know. You know, I have those. Those are in my windshield track because I have those. A smaller rounded head type of a clip GM used to hold the windshield chrome on.
I know exactly what you're saying.
So I've seen them, and I don't know how they're attached. You know, they got to be I don't know if it was like a stud gun where they were welded in. I don't know what the deal is.
It's the same. It is the same procedure along the body of any car that has that molding. All you see is the nail head
right
coming out of the body of the car. I don't know how it's affixed either. I don't know if it's, like you say, if it's studded in, if there's threaded in, which I doubt, or if there's some sort of nut on the back of it, which I doubt.
No.
I'm not sure. I'm really, really not sure. I haven't gotten close enough to one of them. I've only seen pictures, junkyard pictures, basically.
Chassis John likes bazooka bubblegum, by the way. I think, I don't know. I would see if, where did you get the clips from? Did you buy them?
They came with the molding.
Oh, so you have original clips. Okay. I would look at the restoration places, look under the, look under that section for trim and see if they offer a kit with the various parts. And if they offer those little nail heads with it, then you can see, I'm thinking it could have a little like a screw thread on the end or.
Good advice. But I took it a step further and actually looked for those clips and looked for a certain kit. Those clips aren't being manufactured for the C bodies. Now, I'm not sure. They are being manufactured for the B bodies and satellites, chargers, and those things. But I don't know if it's the same clip. I don't know if they're the same size. I doubt it. Knowing Chrysler and their wit and wisdom, I doubt it.
Yeah.
But the C body ones are not being, at least if I haven't found them, and I've even the club guys are like, you better save those clips because they're not around. So I'm assuming they're not.
Okay, but the question is, would the other Chrysler's use the nail head system? Probably.
Right. I don't know. That's, I would assume yes.
So look in a restoration catalog and see if they offer it for another car, and then it's one step closer to having the right stuff.
Okay. I guess I will take that step.
Yeah.
Take a look for. Yeah, I've avoided those sites because of the fact that you say C body and you could.
Oh, I know.
You might as well just say French.
You know, it's like, I'll tell you something. I will tell you though. It's like back in the day, back in the 70s, when I was dealing with my my Pontiac, and you want to get Pontiac stuff. No, I went and learned go to the Chevy dealer and buy stuff for a Chevelle.
You're right.
I also learned to go to the phones and go to the fun and say. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you doing? It's Steve Webb.
Hey, Steve. Oh, Steve.
How you doing?
Excellent. Here's your answer.
Chris is killing me with this rocker molding.
What's the answer, Steve?
Throw a hole.
No.
Steve, come on. Yes. What am I going to put in there, a screw?
You're going to put a screw. You're going to put a little Rust-Oleum around the screw hole. Screw it in. That's it. It's done every day in the body shop.
Really?
You're talking
nothing
to the king of dum-dum.
But just to add to the mix, those little pins that you're talking about, okay?
Yeah.
I have them. They come. We use a tool in the body shop called a pin welder, and basically it's like a little weldable nail that we weld onto the low spot, okay, of a dent.
Right.
Then we attach a slide hammer to that. We pull the low spot out, and then we cut the pin off and grind it and then fill the dent in. Okay? In that pin welding kit comes those little nibs that we call them, all right? And you found them a lot on General Motors cars, okay, of the 60s, and especially around the windshield, to hold the windshield trim clips on. And they do sell them, okay? And you use that same heat source that same pin welder, okay, and you actually weld those little, we call them nibs, those little nibs, and then you can attach your clip to that and then the molding, okay, just
Alrighty.
Like factory. Yeah, you know, but there is, it's available with that pin welding tool, you know, that we use, okay, but so, I haven't used that. I got a whole box of them, haven't used them in years. And even when I come to a restoration where, gee, I'd like to replace those little nibs, I just drill a hole, okay? And actually, there's one better than that. WE makes special screws, okay? And the screw actually takes the place of that nib, and it has the little flange that the clip clips onto, and it's made to replace those. So he makes special screws for that. So you can go that route, but I wouldn't be afraid of drilling a hole.
You know, I'll say this, Steve, and just going by the fear that Chris had, whether he's going to drill a hole or weld in a stud, if it's Bondo there, it's still going to be the same problem. You're going to hit
mush. If it's Bondo, it's even worse because you have to grind all the Bondo out to weld the stud on.
You know
what I mean? So I would go with, you can go with the special screws, okay, to actually WE Hardware.
WE Hardware.
WE Hardware. They make all aftermarket hardware. You can buy just about all the factory hardware that's on an automobile through them, instead of a dealership. And they do make that little stud-type screw that takes the place of that. So you can go that route, but don't be afraid to drill a hole. We do it. Just rust-proof. Just, I would do some kind of rust-proofing, and it's done every day in the shop. You know, nothing wrong with it.
Steve, thanks for that information.
Thank you.
That's great.
Yeah, I had to jump in. I'm sitting there. They're killing me with Velcro and everything. Where's the phone?
And now we got John is listening to the show, too. John is on the North Shore pulling us in on Sunday, so we're...
That's fantastic.
I get the recap during the week from him. Hey, I heard you talking about... What? Like, what did I say? Do you remember when you said no?
There's a couple ways. My saying is, there's the right way to do something, there's the wrong way to do something, and then there's the best way. So always take the best way.
Good advice.
There you go.
Thanks, Steve.
Makes a lot of sense.
All right, Steve. So long.
Thanks, Steve.
That's great. That's from a professional body man. Yeah.
That's the best advice.
Yes.
That's the best advice. Yeah. Exactly. But there's the right advice, the wrong advice, and the best advice.
Yes, but Steve's right. Everything has to be, it has to be determined at the time. Like, you have to see what you're dealing with. I would look down that rocker panel, too. And if it's wavy or if it's concaved, the molding is going to look right because there's going to be gaps. If it's fairly flat, you say, okay, that's good. If it was wavy, I'd say, well, I don't think I'd bother putting a rocker panel molding on because you should pretty much rebuild the whole rocker panel first.
Right.
So, everything has to be looked at for what it is. You have to assess it.
No, you're right. And, the funny thing is I would like to do some of the body work on the lower portion because it's just starting to bubble a little bit in front of the rear wheel and not as much in the front, but in the back it is, like right under the rear window, the quarter window on the car. It's just starting to bubble a little bit, that Chrysler annoying bubble. And I'd like to do it, but I don't have the paint. I don't have the duplicolor for the car. I don't have, because I got the car with the paint on it.
Right.
And it was repainted.
Yeah.
So it's repainted the green. I think it started out as a different color green or something like that. I don't know why they did what they did. Who the heck knows why they even own this car? I don't even know why I own it.
Yeah.
But it's, I figured not to hide it, but at least I can do the body work and then paint it a color or paint it, like Steve says, just rust-proof it with something and then hang the chrome on it until I can find the color.
Right.
And take the chrome off and do it, or leave it that way. It doesn't matter.
All right, listen.
Just tend to the rust problem or tend to the bubbling and then put the chrome on and call it a day.
You just got the tool. It's coming through on your phone. You just got the tool recommendation from Matt Goman Brian.
There's
great. A picture and a description, so they actually sell that gun through Matco, it's available.
That's awesome, Brian. Thank you.
Yeah, I see Derek playing with one all the time. He's got one. It's blue. This one is yellow. But it's a tool for everything. So that's an interesting thing.
It is, and that's what I was doing because I'm sitting back and I'm saying I don't want to drill the hole. I mean,
drilled a hole before. Come on, how many holes I drilled? I got to drill another hole.
Come on, you know how accurate I am.
Yeah, but there's wiggle room.
That's my problem. It doesn't look like there's too much wiggle room in this. Mm. I'm a big fan of measure once and cuss twice.
Oh, yeah. 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 Speaking of tools, first of all, let me get this out. Let me say this. Coming up next week, May 2nd is next week already, we're going to have as a guest Mike Alcamo, who now is the current owner of Epi's Tools from Brucolina.
Yay!
Mike bought the company just a few months ago, so it was actually Luke from Easy Red who gave us the heads up on that. Game
you
of the
You do realize that Eppy's Tools is an institution in Brooklyn, New York.
Yes.
You know that.
I've even been there multiple times. So, yeah,
that
you know.
That is like the Church of Tools.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So, Mike is the new owner. He will be our guest next week. So, we'll be talking to him all about Eppy's and whatnot. So
that'd be great.
So, there's that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I haven't set foot in Eppy's in years, but I'm glad to know it's still there.
It is. And now under new ownership, so they're moving forward. They're on social media. You could follow them. You know, they're probably under Eppy's Tools. I don't remember. I do follow them. Motormouth Radio follows them. And also, you can follow Motormouth Radio if you go to the website or to Twitter or to Facebook. We're Motormouth Radio. And if you want to go to Instagram, which is my favorite and really Joe's favorite, it's real_Motormouth Radio. And that's where we put up pictures and things of the things we get involved with. Like this, you know, if I was working on that car, I'd be taking pictures of those little clips and putting those pictures up at night and saying, here's what we worked on today. So
it's kind of funny because I ordered those chrome strips and they're not easy to find, but thankfully the fine folks in the C-Body website, the C-Body's only website, which I've become a daily viewer of their website. I bought a couple from some of the regulars there. Nice guys, really, really nice guys. Their main goal is to help you get these cars rolling, which is really, really great. And I got a call from the guy once I got the once I got it, and he was like, "Did you open up the package?" I says, "No, I haven't even opened them up yet." So open them soon. Let's go. Speaking of opening up, let's go to the phones. Yeah. Go to the fun.
Let's take a quick call.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Vic, what's going on?
Vic,
all right. Yay. So for the American Graffiti cars, they're both privately owned. The coupe, most people don't know, was hardwired. There isn't a single fuse in it.
Oh, great.
And,
wow.
Yeah. And in the static shots, you'll see it had Strombergs, but they leaked so bad, so any time that the car was really moving in a shot, it had 2 Gs on it.
Beautiful. Yeah. Something that'll work.
That was done by Charlie Price.
Okay.
Corporation. And... Right. As for the 55, that was the camera car. If you look at it, look underneath, you're going to see tubing welded to the chassis so they can slide the camera car guy stuff in.
Yeah, the square channel, right. They always have that coming out the side,
Yep. And it's he still has the red stripes on it.
Okay.
Tires. They're rotted like hell. I saw that car.
Right. Yeah.
But everything is correct on it.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible driving car, he said.
So. Yeah, even in Tulane, you know, I have a bunch of pictures of the behind-the-scenes stuff, and they show, you know, the tilt nose is up, and that car, I know at least one of them had a 427, but one of them, it's a big block, and you can see the fake dual quads that they put on, so from the camera shot in the car, you saw the carburetors, but the car is single four-barrel on it, and an AC compressor. So, I guess James Taylor wanted to be cool while they were driving, so.
Actually, well, he said he hated the sliding windows because it got no air.
Right. Well, that's probably why they put AC in the damn thing for him, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and it also has basically a coilover front end with an axle. It's really tricky.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was, I had the guy's contact information. Cliff was going to hit me over the head with a wet noodle because we talk about this. I have the guy's name who built the car. I can't remember right now. He's still around. Damn.
Yeah.
I'm blanking out.
He is.
Yeah, I'm blanking out. But anyway.
Yeah, I can't think of it neither. But you know, I saw both of the cars and I spoke to people about them at all. Because, you know, you talk to a lot of people, you get a lot of information.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's for sure.
Very true.
Yeah, except for that, no longer on the street ride today, rained out next Sunday at Hageman.
Great.
Yep.
It should be about
100,000 people because nobody's gotten together in over a year.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's going to be big.
Imagine?
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, so you get a can of Coke and you get a pretzel and you see all your friends.
Exactly. That's a good thing.
Right? Yeah, good thing. Have you heard anything else about Long Island cars?
No, nothing else. I got the mailing, and they said, you know, check the website for updates. That's it. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, except for that, just a terrible day.
Yeah. It's going to be nice later.
Yeah, but it's still too wet to lay on the ground or anything like that.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. Very true.
That's for sure.
Yep. So, as long as everybody's good, stay safe, stay distant, you know. Unless it's your girlfriend, then get real close.
Right.
You
know? Good advice, Vic. We're going to take that, I think.
All right.
All right.
You're a good guy.
Thanks, Vic.
So long.
Bye-bye.
All right. I think it's that's great advice from Vic. And with that, we are going to take some we're going to take our break and reestablish. So Chris, do we have our normal bottom of the hour Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour? Because Dougie's listening. Dougie's out. That was at the UD yesterday. He said, I'm going to be listening. So
of course we have a Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour this week. And if you are part of the Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour, if an automotive repair constitutes striking the dashboard with the ball of your hand, has the clock stopped working? Is the speedometer needle stuck? Has one of the instrument lights stopped working? Are you listening to Motor Mouth Radio on your car radio and tempted to strike it with your fist? Well, if you're going for the quick fix by hitting the dashboard, you're part of the Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour.
Nice. Excellent. That's good. We've all been there. We've all done that. So that's a good one. So with that,
the car you love so much,
right,
you strike with your fist.
Hey, my car's got a metal dash. It's not going to get hurt. I'm going to get hurt. You know? So with that, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Keep it where you got it. We're going to go and hit the highway right now and be a star. So, and we'll be back with more. Chris, keep it where you got it, everybody, on Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motor Mouth!
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
Now hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motor Mouth!
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No, I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evinrude.
As always, you are consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming. I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Obviously, I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
So I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motor Mouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but they're not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motor Mouth, this show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
This is Motor Mouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. And now, here are your Motor Mouths, Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
Oh, you don't get a better end to a segment than that. We just right at the end of Highway Star. Thank you. Very good. Good timing, Kim. That was excellent. Excellent.
Yes.
So Joe just weighed in with you with a whole clip set from Chrysler. It just went over your way.
Oh, okay.
So take a look at that when you get a chance.
Boy, I'm benefiting greatly from this program, aren't I?
Yes, you are. Yes,
I love it. Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Yes, Joe is always a help. And what I the other fun that we had was yesterday I got to take another trip over to the UD.
Oh.
And I want to get Joe over there with me. I got to see if he's cleared for travel. But I did take Kilowatt Kevin. We went over there. I had to pick up a little press. You know, Dougie had a press that he wanted to access, and he thought of me. So we swapped a case of beer for a press. It's kind of easy.
So he impressed you with his press.
Yes.
Right?
So we get to hang out. It's always fun. It's always an adventure over there because those guys into some really crazy. You know, they had a gas tank out of a later model Mustang now that they're trying to fix a fuel feed problem on. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And Johnny was railing because he said, yeah, that was not an easy thing to get out of the car. It was really in there, you know. But
I'm sure.
But the back of the car was still intact. Nothing had been cut off. The quarter panels were still there, so it couldn't have been that bad because there was no sizzles or torches involved. Although I'm sure that would have been the next thing in line.
He didn't have to use the sizzle.
No, he did not have to use the sizzle. Which you know that's. That's how it goes.
That's funny. I'm actually looking at some of the pictures that of your the customer's vehicle, that 64 Cadillac on Instagram at @real_motormouthradio. The car looks good. I'm looking at some of the shots. I see it is a well loaded, well optioned vehicle.
Yeah. And it has been painted.
And you could tell when you're a 64 Caddy guy, you can see where to look. To see where the GuideMatic photo tube is and where the air conditioning compressor sits and where the tilt wheel is. It does have a tilt wheel, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Yeah.
And it was painted many years ago, so it actually has a little bit of checking and things going on. But, you know, for a driver, it's going to be great. The engine was redone 15 years ago, and, you know, I got it started for the first time, which was kind of cool. The other day I was at the shop, and a fellow walks in, and he had a handful of $100 bills and a box. And I'm like, yes, what would you like? He was looking for Mike. Actually, it ended up being the brother of the owner of the Cadillac.
Oh, okay.
And he wanted to drop off some money because there had been some money laid out and things. He wanted to pay part of that out.
Right.
And I said, you know, what's in the box? And it was an electrical box from like an outlet. So I'm like, what the heck is that? And he goes, oh, my brother said, you know, to drop this off. So I open it up, and there's bubble wrap, and what's in there but the neutral safety switch with the vacuum. And I looked at it and said, I don't want to have this in my hands right now. I said, I saw this thing for $500 on eBay. I said, did your brother happen to have this thing around, or did he just buy it? He goes, no, he just got it. I'm like, do you know from where? He says, oh, online somewhere. I'm like, wow. You know, talk about unobtainium. So
yeah,
so there it is.
He paid the price.
He did actually get the correct switch. So yeah, that's
how does it look?
It looks like a used part. It doesn't look new, but it looks well preserved. Not you can tell it's not brandy new. And the good thing is, being that it's used, the Bakelite, that the plastic part of the switch. Back then, they used a nice, thick, brown-colored Bakelite, kind of like the cap of a starter solenoid, you know.
I remember,
yes. A heavy Bakelite. And the replacement one that we put in was just from, you know, something that was, it was a standard motor switch, but it was just for a GM. And it was a black plastic that you could see just wasn't the same thickness. You know, it's kind of like they did with distributed caps and rotors. So this one is, it's an original part. So
wow.
So that's nice. You know, we'll get to put that in and see if that breaks as well.
Gently.
We won't know if that brake system works until all the vacuum lines are hooked up. It's a vacuum release.
Right. Because so. I'm looking at the images. You got the metal portion of the dash in the car, which is very nice. Steering wheel, steering columns in. Good luck trying to get that thing, slide that thing up and on top of the steering column with all those components back in the car.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know how far we're going with the car. I don't know. I don't know how far.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. So we'll see. We'll take it a step at a time and we'll go from there. But the funny thing is, the guy's brother is, you know, and he's not a kid. He looked like he was maybe in his 50s. Now the Caddy is up in the air on the lift and the Mustang is under it. And he's looking at it and he's like, wow. He goes, and he goes, and they told me that it runs. It runs. I'm like, yeah. I said, we got it running for the first time. It runs really nice. So I wish I could have, you know, I could have moved things around and lowered it and started it for him. But I didn't have the ability to do that. So, you know. So you know what? We're going to go to the phones because we have a call. We're going to push this button and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
What's up, Ray? What's up, Chris? Dougie from the UD. How you guys doing?
Ah, Gumbada Cheech. It's Dougie.
What's up, Dougie?
What's happening?
Chris, how you doing out there? I don't fall into this this week's category. I don't know. I'm sure I did something else, but I don't know about beating up the dash putter. I was probably scared of cracking the dash pad or something. And, you know, I hate comparing those or changing them, so... But Ray, was good seeing you and Kevin yesterday.
Oh yeah, it's always a pleasure coming down. I love to to spend some time.
You're always welcome, man. You're always welcome, Chris. You're welcome. Thank you. I know it's a ride for you, but you know.
Yeah,
Dougie, thank you so much. I actually have been there. I've been there when I was still a resident of New York. Ray and I were there, and yes, I would love to return.
That was in the old iteration when the guys were downstairs, which was kind of cool. It was like cave like, but it was had a whole other persona.
Dungeon.
Yeah, a dungeon. Yeah, now there's windows.
So. Now we got windows. Yeah,
right.
Wow. Yeah, I remember the cave, which was fascinating because it was like a treasure in a cave. It was real. All the cars that were there were just fantastic. It was like a car show.
Moved on up.
Moving on up to the north side. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
But it would be nice to get Joe over there.
Yeah, we're gonna. I'm
working Homestead.
Gonna work on that. Gonna definitely work on that. So
yeah, like I said, everybody's always welcome. Be nice, Chris and Joe, Ray, whoever wants to come by.
We'll end up doing a radio show.
You can do a radio show from there. If you get any reception, I don't know.
We'll take your super slick antenna that you got. We'll turn it into a transmitting antenna. We'll point it east, and we'll shoot out a signal. You know,
yeah, that thing works. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't chime in on Chris's problem with the moldings there, because mine would be like the bad advice, like double-sided tape and a screw on each corner there with where the pins were.
There you go. Yeah, there's a lot of this.
We got a shortcut.
Yeah.
Well, that would work.
And I'm already thinking about that. It's like, you know, when I put the molding on my car, I had the car in the lift, and I raised it about like, 2.5, not even 3 feet, so that when I sat on the stool, it was right at my working height. You don't want to be working with it below you or above you. You want to have it right at that right level, you know?
Yeah, you need a lift to do that with the chrysler on the bottom there.
Yeah.
My theory is if I'm not going to, you know, drill a hole, because I'm scared of that sometimes, double-sided tape, let me see how long it lasts, you know what I'm saying?
All right, yeah. And then when you're on the, you know, in the BQE and you hear kang, gang, gang, clang, 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 you're like, oh, right. Damn, there goes the tape.
Well, you know the tape wore out, that was it.
Exactly.
Right, you know the spear flies off and decapitates somebody.
Fly.
As long as it ain't a hood on them and coming through your windshield, you're doing all
right.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right, it turns into a lance.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to call in, chime in with you guys, say hello.
Excellent.
Hopefully the sun will come out and salvage a little bit of the day. And
you guys going to work on a Mustang today?
Yeah, just going to finish putting the descender in it. I mean, the pump and everything. I'm waiting on a part for the neck.
Oh, okay.
The side, the neck.
Right.
And I won't have that till tomorrow. So, something will get done.
Yeah. Good. Very good. Excellent.
Sounds cool.
All right, guys. Great show again. Enjoy.
All right. We'll
talking to you.
Talk to you soon, Doug. Thanks.
Thanks, Dougie. Be safe.
Right. Thanks,
all right, bye-bye. Excellent. That was Dougie from the UD. Yes, we were.
Yes.
I love going over there. It's such a great place to hang. And, you know, it's like I was talking to Kevin on the way home. It's like, you know, it's kind of like in the old days when you went to guys' houses and their garages, or a guy rented a garage. Like, I used to hang out with Jeff, the glass guy, at the garage he rented. Everybody just knew, go to the rental garage, because that's where he was all the time. You know?
Right.
And you just roll in, lights on, hang out, and just, you know, people would just come and go and, you know, all sorts of stuff happened. Some things got fixed. Some people just came and had a beer or brought some pizza, and others, you know, you name it, and it happened. It was just kind of that epicenter of stuff. So
of activity.
Yeah,
I would. My driveway was pretty much that same thing. There was no garage, but I would always just pop the hood on my car in front of the house, and there, inevitably enough, somebody would show up. Next thing you know, you had a crowd of people around your car, and that's why it always took me days to fix my car.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I moved to Connecticut, where my friends were not, you know, passing by the house, that I found that I can get stuff repaired in record time.
Yes.
And it's like, because I wasn't stopping and talking to people and shooting the breeze and whatever have you, who shows up. Well, it wasn't that.
You know my theory on that. You know, I've told you my theory about that a long time ago.
I know. You can tell us again.
Yeah. If I'm working on something in the driveway, in the garage, wherever I am, and I'm in the middle, and it's got to be, you know, some stuff has to be done by, you know, before dark because you're outside. Right. Or it has to be done by that day because you need the car for tomorrow. Or, you know, there's a time-sensitive thing or whatever. I've learned, and I learned this from our good friend Gerard at Rolling Thunder Cycles. He taught it to me. It's like, you know, you say hello, you know, you say your greetings, hi, how you doing, all those shaking hands, blah, 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 and then you get back to work. You don't stop working. Uh-huh. And I've told people, like, if you want to sit and hang out, you can hang out. I said, but I have to do this, so you can watch. You know, some people actually want to help. And I've had some people I said, oh, yeah, definitely. Here, you do this. You do. And other people, I've literally told them, no. No thanks. I don't need your help. Like, you
That's what
sit,
you told me.
You sit there and watch. And I'll do it. Because you know that the certain people helping you means you got another job on your hands. You know?
You've told me to sit down in the corner.
And I can't tell you. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've been the guy to walk up on someone, a friend who's working on something. And, you know, and they're taking off the welding helmet or putting the tools. I'm like, no, don't stop. Oh, what do you mean don't stop? You came by to say, I'm like, yeah, I came here to hang out, but I'll sit over here. You keep working. I said, don't stop because I'm here. I said, you're working. I don't want to stop you. You know, do your stuff. And people feel funny doing that. They do. It's almost
one of them.
You know, it's almost like, you know, like, listen, we didn't go into your house. We're not having tea. You know, it's not like there's scones out and being served. You know,
you're not a guest.
Yeah. It's like, it's the garage. What are you worried about? No, listen, and if you need a hand, tell me and I'll help you. And if not, you know, I'll hang. And when I got to go, I'll go, you know?
Right.
So that's it.
No, it's the truth. No, my friends wouldn't offer. They wouldn't offer to help.
Yeah.
If anything, they'd be a hindrance. Right. They'd start playing with your tools, rearrange your sockets, throwing stuff across the street.
That's the next step is then it's like, okay, you know what? Now you got to go because I'm kicking your ass out. See ya. Nice to know you. I'll catch you on the avenue later. You
know? Those are my friends.
Yeah. Right.
The they jokesters. Make your life miserable while you're working on a car. Oh, so you had to stop just to keep everybody in check.
Well, yeah, I might as well just shut it down at that point, you know, because then nothing's going to get done. Yeah. But hey, there's another thing, another little issue that I have to resolve here. Again, it's like I said, the Mustang is below the Caddy, and I was looking at the brakes last week. I did a thorough brake bleed twice on that car, and it's got a very low, kind of softish pedal. And I did a little research. And I found, you know, I was thinking about the master cylinder. I really was. I was thinking about it maybe bypassing. Or I was thinking about the rods that are in there. I found there's a combination of 10 different rods you can use on those cars between booster and master on the Mustangs.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And there's different master cylinders. Brian told me that there's two master cylinders for 69 with a short and a long cup inside that dictates the pedal feel.
Oh, good. Make it even more difficult.
And I don't know what, you know, you look at a master cylinder and say, okay, which one are you? You know, it doesn't tell you. So I downloaded a bunch of information, printed it, and I left it there. And we're going to have to dig into this week because now it becomes a you have to backwards engineer this science project that was put together. You know, somebody else had owned this car and put that stuff in there. So,
It's not. You know. I can't say it's not stock, but it's been messed with.
Well, yeah, and what I found is with the Mustang especially, it could be stock stuff, just the wrong combination of parts.
Right.
And
so now you have to go in there, dig in, and figure it out.
And I think that's what's going on. So, that's another
and
one.
And you're not getting any air bubbles. It's not – you're getting a clean bleed.
No, I finally got a clean bleed, good fluid, all of that. And, that's that. But the pedal is still just kind of low and mushy.
Wow.
I mean, the car will stop. Mike drives. He says, it'll stop. It's like, you know, you got to be way at the bottom and it'll stop. So it's not acceptable. It's not the way it should be. It's not right. We got to fix it. And like I said, I immediately thought of the master cylinder. And then I always think of the rod because I've played around with the rods in the masters quite a lot with many of my cars.
Yeah.
I told you
I
a story.
Have too.
When I had my, the first Fiat, I never liked it's four wheel disc brakes on those cars. I never liked. It never really stopped the way that I like it to stop. Then what I have now still does, doesn't do the same thing. It's just the way the car is. There's nothing you can do about it. It stops, but just I'd rather have it, you know, just better. So anyway, I like to maximize or minimize the pedal effort. You know, there's a rod from the pedal into the booster, and there's usually one from the booster to the master. So the first one is fixed. Sometimes the back one is adjustable, not always. In the Fiat, it was fixed. So the rod from the booster to the master was adjustable. And I had it set up, and I drove the car. And, you know, because you have to have free play in that in the pedal, or else as the fluid expands, it'll back up and lock the brakes on you. I had that happen on my motorcycle. And, yeah,
I had that happen on the Seville. Yeah.
If that ever happens, see, the easiest thing to do is just crack a bleeder, and you'll blow the pressure off. There's your tip. But anyway, so with the Fiat, I measured the rod. I wrote the measurement down on a piece of paper. I took a veneer caliper with me, and I drove around. I said, okay. After a few minutes, I would stop, and I got it down to a science. I think I needed two 12-millimeter nuts, pop the master off, pull the rod out, loosen the jam nut with a 10-millimeter, and I would increase the length of the rod by, like, you know, 10 or 20 thousandths using my veneer caliper. Put it back in, bolt it in, drive again, and feel the difference. And I kept doing that, making that rod longer and longer until, as I started to slow down, I'd feel the car like it was braking for me. Because that's what was happening now. The rod was too long, and as the fluid expanded due to heat, it was back putting pressure back on the pedal and making the car stop.
It was like you're pushing your foot on the brake pedal.
Exactly. So I'd feel like I'd roll up to a light or a corner, and I'd put it in neutral, and I would feel like if the car was rolling free and easy, I'm still good. If I felt that it was slowing down on me,
binding,
it's going to slow down, then I'd say, okay, then I know I'd go back, and I took like maybe 5 thousandths off that measurement. Right. And that's where I left it, you know. And that's how I optimized that, you know, the system. But again, I knew at least that car had the correct parts. So it's going to be another project, another, you know, when you deal with older cars, you find that, you know, it's the ills of what the last owners have done, which is worse than what you have to deal with. Like in that car, I was dealing with the lights this week, trying to make lights work, a mark light, headlights. And I found, a headlight plug that had three red wires on it. I'm like, now a headlight on a Ford should have a green for low beam, a red for high beam, and a black for ground. So there should be red, green, black. This car had red, red, red. Like, okay.
So that
goes down into some electrical tape. So you take the tape off and you see, okay, there's just a twisted wire connection, not even soldered, that they taped. The red wire went into a white wire with a blue stripe. The green wire went into a red wire. And the black wire went into a green wire with a blue stripe. And then they went into the factory wires because it was like an extended. So take all of that stuff out. And now I made a new harness. But you found that you cannot, you can't solder new wire to old wire like that because the old wire already has oxidation in it, and the copper is changed. It won't hold solder. It doesn't do it. It's just
really
So I had to use.
You're not tinning the wire.
Oh, you could. You know, I have a new piece of fresh wire going into the old wire, and you twist it together. Well, actually, I brushed the wire with a brush first to kind of clean off the oxidation.
Yeah, I brush it and then run a little flux on it, not a lot, a little bit of flux, just to get the flow.
Well, I'm using flux core solder, of course, and it just literally just, it heats and just pulls right off. It doesn't stick.
So dirty wire.
In that case, I had to use butt connectors, which I don't always like using, but in that case, I had no choice. And then I insulated them with some good connectors.
You gotta love the DPO, the dreaded previous owner. It's always. I learned that in the Triumph boys would always talk about the DPO.
Let's see how our phone callers are going, if we have a dreaded one on the line, and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What's up?
What's happening, Christian? Right. You got us at the end, so what's happening?
I know, it's fine, it's fine. I was just thinking about the whole copper wire thing. I hate that when it won't take the solder.
Yes, there's no way around that.
There's no way. Exactly. That is like the one thing I've never been able to really cure.
That's funny because I've never had that problem. I've always been able to tin the wire.
Yeah.
you know, it's almost, I think about like a doctor when they're doing arteries and stuff like that. They probably like cutting veins or something. And it's like, oh, keep going further back. It's like, this is the same thing with the wires. You keep going back and back and back.
Right.
You get a spot where it's not all take.
Wow. Exactly. It's frustrating. It really is.
You know what?
Yeah.
I have yet to have this problem, guys. I swear. I can take the insulation off an old wire, and I've worked with a lot of old wires, and I just basically tin them with a little bit of flux. And like flux core solder, and get it to basically tin, and then you could hook it up to the other wire and just glide the soldering iron over it. And I guess it's years of building slot cars.
No,
I don't know.
You know what you do, Chris? Take a look at the pictures that I posted. They're on. It's on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And look at the pictures of the wires and just expand.
I've been watching
them.
The Cadillac. That's why I'm saying the Cadillac. You know, and I'm working on old bikes that have very similar problems too. And it's like you get like these areas where the wiring, before you know it, you're replacing a whole entire wire.
Exactly.
It's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. It's making me starting to wonder about charging systems and
stators and rotor windings. Yeah. Well, at least they're lacquer coated, you know, so they don't short out. So those are unless they overheat, they
right. That's what I'm saying. The heat, but how it breaks the copper down.
Yeah.
You know, and then what happens even with the motorcycles with the stators? Because if you have a lot of crankcase, Kawasaki's really known for this too. The oil inside the engine where the stator is will proliferate up through the wire like a hose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'll saturate oil all the way through the entire wire up to where the regulator is. And we've had people complain like, oh, I got an oil leak in the back of the bike because that's where the regulator plug is.
Yeah.
And that's because the oil pressure and just like the crankcase pressure is proliferating the oil all the way up through the wire like a hose.
Crazy.
So try and solder on that. You know?
No,
that's
no.
impossible. Yeah.
You could clean the wire off, but you know what Kawasaki's recall on that was, they sent us super glue, and they were like, right at the end of the plug, you would put a little dab of super glue to seal it off.
Right. All right, well, I'll tell you what, Christian, we got to seal it off and get out of here now because Kim's in and we got to run.
I had to get my foot in the door. See you later.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Take care, Christian. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Chris, with that, we're going to get out of here. Let Kim take over with Thunder Road, Best of Bruce Springsteen and the band and all of that stuff. So what do we tell our listeners before we leave?
Don't follow us home and don't smack your dash.
Right. So with that, we'll be back with more Motorath Radio next week with Mike L. Campbell from Epi's Tools. Tune in. For Ray, for Chris, this is Ray. See you next week.
See you, bye.
Bye. Where's my...
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.